Welcome to the Putting Couch, episode 15. This is Jim Grundberg of the Seymour Putter Company, along with our tour team, Cody Hale and Ted Galena. And yes, every 4 weeks, we get the pleasure of talking to the great Dr. Bob Winters about all things golf, mental, putting, what's wrong, SOS, I can't do it anymore, I need help. Dr. Bob, thanks for coming on.
Jim, Ted, and Cody, it's great to be on the Putting Couch. And two couches here, or three couches, no waiting. So I'm excited to be on.
The couch is cleaned off and we're ready to go.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, Dr. Bob, we spent a couple of the last episodes with you talking about your fascinating background, and we encourage new listeners to go back and catch up on those episodes. And today we want to jump right into really a more of a micro topic, which is when golfers all of a sudden start feeling like they can't putt anymore. And it happens to everyone. And somebody can be putting very, very well. Somebody could have a personal best, and within 2 weeks, you know, the wheels are off and they're exasperated and they're calling you or they're calling us or they're running into a golf shop and they're saying, you know, I've lost it. I just can't putt anymore. And how can that possibly happen? Is putting that complicated and that difficult that, you know, the difference between great and terrible is just on a razor's edge?
Well, I'll tell you, that's an interesting topic, because I remember growing up in the great state of Indiana, and I remember putting with just an old blade. And I remember picking up one of Arnold Palmer's first books. I think it was My Game and Yours. But all through the book, the king was talking about just knowing that whenever he stepped into a putt, he was going to make a putt. And I read that, and it just oozed of confidence and just really what people have when they are really putting well. Almost like little kids. You see little kids, they putt with this carefree confidence. But then about 10, 15 years later, Arnold had written a book called Situational Golf. And it was talking about, you know, putting and the different situations. And he was talking about there are some putts that you can make, and there are some putts you have to be very careful on as well. And then about another 15, 20 years later, he was, you know, had written a book, The Art of Putting, and everything about putting. And then in one of the chapters, he says, my love-hate affair with over 3,000 putters. So I thought that was a pretty interesting thing. Over 30, 40 years, the king goes from I can make any putt to, hey, I've tried over 3,000 different putters. So, yes, I mean, putting is sort of a fickle mistress, if you will. But it's amazing. I've always said that the very best putter, whatever you hold in your hand, is most useful in the most confident mind. And that's really what putting is. And I think everyone here on our panel and everyone across the world can agree with that. If you have putting confidence, you're really going to make putts and you're going to shoot low scores.
And that's a great point, Doctor, because I think in the end of the day, it's going to be about how do you recapture that confidence? How do you keep it going when you have it? And then how can you be put at ease to know that, hey, it's still in there? Because just in this week, I remember talking to three customers that have been raving fans of Seymour Putters. They believe the Seymour Putter has helped them with everything that we claim that it can help you with, you know, in terms of consistency and setup, consistency and alignment, over time, more great putting rounds. And every single one of them continued to say how much they love their Seymour putter and how much they consider themselves to be a great putter. But then the flip side is that, but man, I just played in my club championship last week and I had a terrible weekend, or this or that. And we see it on tour. We see it with average players. We see it with club level players. And again, right now, we know that it's not physical because, you know, the same person that, you know, set an all-time personal best for 26 putts last week, all of a sudden is so quick to turn on themselves. And so how do we address that?
First of all, you have to understand that putting is a black and white proposition. You either make the putt or you miss the putt. So we have so much expectations just built into the psychology and the performance of putting. And so every time we step into a putt, we want to make that putt. But there's only two things that can happen. You either make it and you miss it. And people are always affected by missing. And we know through the research in the psychological research and the emotional research over the past 30, 40 years, that negative thoughts, negative feelings are much more pervasive and more persistent than good feelings. So when we actually start missing putts, they have a greater detrimental effect to our psyche, to our golf esteem, our golf confidence, than all of the positive putts that we make. It's almost like when we say, wow, you're really good, and you're nice looking, and you really have so much talent, and you have seven or eight people, you know, telling you all about all the good things that you're doing. But then one person comes up and really says something negative. Well, which one sticks? It's always the negative. And I think that's really what missing does. It's very impactful, and it causes us to doubt, even when we've been having some success. So I'm always asking, you know, my players and people, you know, that start to work with me, I ask them a couple of questions. Are you a good player? And they'll give me a yes or no. And then I'll ask, are you a good putter, more specifically? And it's amazing that the great putters I've worked with over these many, many years, they'll always say, yes, I'm a great putter. And then you'll have people who are known as good putters, but they'll sort of give you a vacillating answer. And they'll say, sometimes I'm a good putter. So they don't really have that enduring confidence. They have something called conditional confidence. And I think that's what a lot of people have. On the condition I make that first 3-footer on the first hole, or I make a couple of putts during the day, on those positive conditions, then I'll feel like I have putting confidence. But what happens when you miss that first 3-footer, you say, I'm doomed for the whole day. I just don't have it. So we have to be able to implant positive putting pictures so that they can actually sort of dissolve those negative feelings. But it, again, it's have it and the next day you don't. And that's why it's so important to build putting confidence and positive putting momentum.
That's incredible.
And from a, you know, when I was playing, I always drew back to, you see so many levels of golfers from an amateur level up to the tour level that seem like their level of expectation and confidence on the practice screen is through the roof. They can complete training aids. They have beautiful free-flowing strokes. They make tons of putts. And then they go to the golf course, and it immediately changes. Like you said, they miss the first putt, and their mindset changes. How do they get themselves into that mindset in a practice session? Do they see themselves make more putts? How do you help somebody sort of achieve that even when they may not have their best stuff?
Well, that's a great question, and I can answer that with one of my former players who was a daughter of a great PGA teaching professional up in the Midwest, and I won't give her name, but she said to me when we started working together, she goes, Dr. Winters, I know I'm a good putter. My father has taught me how to putt, and I do all these practice drills, and I know that I can putt well, but how do I practice pressure? How do I practice so I can actually translate it to the golf course? And these are the type of drills that, you know, I always, you know, tell people they need to do, because what we need to do is to be able to transfer that training, that practice, that rehearsal mindset so we can take it to the golf course. And so many times we've actually done the star drill, 3-footers, 4-footers, 5-footers, so that you see, feel, and hear success. But the big thing is you have to be able to practice your routine, practice your mindset, practice walking into every putt, giving it the same stroke. Because that's what happens to so many golfers at every level. They make each putt a live or die situation, a make or miss. And they start saying, I have to, I must, I should. And what happens, they get sort of this tyranny of the shoulds. When we get closer to the hole, we start to tighten up. And so really what I was telling this young college player, I said, you need to make your warm up one ball and make it just like you're going to be on the golf course. And if you miss, at least miss while trying to make. And then if you do miss, miss with the intention that you're trying to make it, and then pull something positive out of that miss. And she looked at me and she said, well, what does that mean? I said, if you're going to putt, I want you to putt with the idea that you're trying to make every one. But if you miss it, I want you to miss it well. And she goes, well, what does that mean? That means every time you step into a putt, you hit it, the ball looks like it has a chance to go into the hole. And I think all of us know intuitively and experientially, when we putt well, all of our playing partners, our friends are going, wow, Jim, wow, Cody, wow, Ted. Yeah, it looks like everything you step into, you're going to make it. That's really what great putting to me is all about, is that every putt is hit solid. Every putt looks like it's going to be made. And if you do miss, you missed it well. It looked like it still had a chance to go in. So I think that's a real important part of actually being able to take it from the practice green to the real green, because the real green, it counts. There's a consequence there. And then the emotions, the stress, the pressure builds up. So we need to make putting, you know, every putt can be made, and a putt is a putt is a putt. No one is greater or less than in value than another putt. So every putt, you give a great, neutral, yet confident effort.
Dr. Bob, you might have just already answered my question, and I'm going to ask you, when you talked about a positive picture on every putt, you know, black and white, if the ball doesn't go in during a round of golf, what positive picture can you take from that? Or is it just the positive picture of it going in, and then is that final? Or what do you see, or what do you tell your students in those situations?
Well, every person is their own novel, Cody. What that means is that every person sees the putt differently. They read it differently. But what I'm trying to help every player and every listener here that's actually tuning into the Putting Couch get from this is that when you step in and you are decisive about the type of putt you want to hit, how you want that ball rolling at the delivery speed, at the terminal phase of the putt, how you see it going in, if that putt does not go in, I need you to immediately not be a reactor, but to respond appropriately and say, wow, I did some good things there. That putt had a chance, you know, to be made. I hit it solid. I stayed true to my routine. I saw my ball going this way. And hey, sometimes a miss is just a miss. But that's why I say you need to miss it well. So we're always trying to pull something positive out of every putt we stroke, because it's so important to keep that putting momentum, that confidence high, so that we can actually just keep building that momentum going on and on in the round. We just don't want to have one putt make us one putt destructive and tell us, oh, guys, I don't have it today. It's so important to keep that putting confidence intact.
Is routine and the process the sort of the biggest part of being able to trust yourself under the gun?
Well, let's think really what trust is. I mean, a scientific term, trust is the letting go of these over-controlling tendencies that interfere with what we already know how to do. So trust is the letting go of trying hard and manipulating. And I think the great putters in the world, Ben Crenshaw, Brad Faxon, Dave Stockton, Nancy Lopez, they always say when they try too hard, they want it too bad, it inhibits their natural human process. So really the whole notion about having a routine is getting yourself to a yes, this is what I want to do mindset. And once you get to that green light, once you step into the ball, that gives you the freedom, this emotional freedom, to putt with what I call a carefree confidence stroke. It's not that you're trying to oversteer or work it or even will it into the hole. It's just, it is what it is. It's a very free flowing stroke, and your mind is directing your body. Hey, here's really what I want to do. I want this ball to roll on this ball roll line. I want it to roll into the hole. So anything you do with your routine to get you to that yes mindset, you know, that's really what I'm looking for when I'm working with any of my students.
I know, doctor, that, you know, when you see great players out there, And you know, we get to watch the great players on TV. We don't get to watch average, you know, players like most of us on TV because we're not on TV. But it seems like the really great ones, when they're really playing their best, somehow they miss putts and they miss a lot of putts. But it seems like they're able to just immediately forget about it. And on the next green, it almost is like they treat each one like it's the first hole they've played. And maybe they're going to start a streak of made putts there. And it just, it seems like that's a lot easier said than done, but it just seems like that's ultimately what the goal is. You know, they say you have to forget about the last one. Now, or are you saying maybe don't forget about the last one, but just take something positive from the last one? Hey, you know what? It's a miss or make. I missed it. You know what? It's like a roulette wheel. Over time, half of them are going to be red and half of them are going to be black. And I guess if you believe that, you're also going to just stick with it and say, hey, that was going to, a statistic say that I have to miss some. I'm going to make the next one.
Great putters, Jim, don't really care about probabilities. They don't care about statistics and they don't care about reality thinking. In fact, if you want to be a great putter, you've got to let go of all of that reality thinking, all of that statistical prognosis. Great putters, every time they step up into a putt, they believe this one is going in. And so a great putter has what we call in basketball a shooter's mentality. They don't sit there and keep those running stats and go, wow, I'm 0 for 6 now from 10 feet. They don't think that. What they think about is, this is the one that's going to get me going. And they may, you know, make, they might make a 10 footer, a 50 footer, a 40 footer. They just want that one. So again, in golf, especially on the putting green, the most important number is one. It's this one. It's this one putt that gets me going. And I think Mark Twain said it best. He said, sometimes having a short-term memory is so much better served than having a long-term memory, reliving all of my failures and my disappointments. If I can forget, you know, my failures, everything is new. So I think Mark Twain was a pretty good sports psychologist who would actually tell you after a miss, you need to park it, release it, put it behind you, and then step into the new one with renewed vigor, renewed enthusiasm to say, this is the one that gets me going. And that is a learned mindset. And even a poor putter can adopt that mindset and say, this is the one that gets me going. This is the one that actually primes the pump that really creates a flood.
Dr. Bob, this is Ted. In your mind, the number of great putters that are out there on the PGA Tour, I mean, what is that? Is it a small number, a large number? Can it change throughout the course of a season for that individual? Or is it something that just have to constantly practice day in and day out to get that mindset that, you know, instead of a negative on every putt, that we know there's some out there, turn to a Zach Johnson thought of, yeah, I'm going to make every putt I look at and it's going to go in the hole. What do you think that percentage is out there?
Well, I think that percentage is the percentage that everyone's looking at. They're trying to say, what does that person have? And I need to actually get a prescription for that, because everyone is looking around going, wow, you know, what's that guy got? And we see men and women, boys and girls, who are just exuding confidence, especially confidence with the flat stick. And I've always used the word putt, P-U-T-T. And I always love the acronyms. And a great putter, they place ultimate trust in their technique. That's P-U-T-T. But even more so than that, they place ultimate trust in their thinking. So you have technique and you have your thoughts. And I think the great putters on tour or even at your club, I mean, because I have gone all across the country and worked at a lot of different clubs and seen a lot of different people of all handicaps. And I have people, some people have, you know, the worst technique, but they have the best mind and they just find a way to get the ball in the hole. And what I've always said that, you know, confidence is everything in putting, confidence is everything in golf and in sport, but confidence is every little thing that gives you that feeling of, I'm going to make this putt. So If you find yourself with a putter that you aim really well, or you find yourself with a putter that just looks good to you and you hit it solid, just those little things right there can give you that feeling of confidence. And I think that's what is going on with all these tour pros from week to week. They're just trying to find that little bit of magic that they had last week or even yesterday. But let's not forget, the body is very plastic. We change every day, every minute, almost every second, neurochemically. I mean, we sometimes our fingers feel a little bit fat in the morning. Sometimes they feel very in tune. Sometimes, you know, our body feels a little stiff. Sometimes it feels very fluid. So when we start talking about, boy, I'm having a great putting day, you want to embrace it. You want to welcome it. But at the same time, you also want to underline and remember, what did I do well today? What was my thought process today? How did I step into every putt today? And if I made a lot of putts today, hey, I want to do that again. So again, it's sort of a cookie cutter recipe. And I think the best putters, that's what they have. They understand their technique. They understand their thinking. And they also understand that, hey, I've got to give myself a positive picture every time I step into the putt, because if I don't do that, you know, I don't have a chance of being successful.
Dr. Bob, is that where you hear the term, you know, a lot of great putters wheel putts in the hole? And I remember when I was playing, you know, played for 5 years and read a couple of Bob Rotella's books, actually, in that I remember creating, you know, a mental picture of how the ball is going into the hole. Is how do you teach an amateur golfer to create those mental pictures, and that if they don't have great technique, how can they help will those putts in the hole, and how can they create confidence through a good mental picture?
Well, I think the first mental picture that you have to have is the ball going into the hole. That's the final picture on every hole, on every round, and at every tournament that people play in. They see the ball going into the hole. So I'm always trying to begin with the end in mind. I want to have people see it, feel it, and hear that ball go into the hole. So whether it's 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, we have to take baby steps. We have to crawl before we can walk. So when you get a 1 footer, a 2 footer, and you really start hitting it solid into the hole, you start not to only see it, feel it, and experience it, you're almost expecting it to go into the hole. And so we sort of draw it back. Now, our rate of makes versus missing, you know, will change. But the whole point is you have to start, you know, building success. And that's building competence. And it's competence not only in the stroke, but it's also in hitting the putt solid, but also the competence of seeing your ball going into the hole on this ball roll line. And there's a lot of different ways that I teach people, you know, to see their putts go in. And it's a fact, and we're going to talk about this on upcoming programs, is that many people, when you say, don't you see that ball rolling into the hole? They go, I don't see anything. I don't see a line. I don't see, you know, these dots. I don't see anything. All I see is a little spot out there. So you have to understand, are you one of these people that sees a curved line? Do you see a straight line? Do you see any line at all? I have a lot of players that are more imagers versus visualizers. And the difference is an imager says, this is what I know, and this is where I feel the ball sort of go into the hole. And so they go, I don't really see the ball rolling on this line, but I know if I hit it out here on this spot or on this curved line, it goes, or on this curve of the slope, I know the ball will break into the hole. So it's very important to really kind of figure out first what your student, what you are actually looking at, what you're feeling before we even step into any teaching process.
Doctor, it's interesting. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about the expectations. And a really cool Seymour story this week is on the Champions Tour, Brant Jobe just got a huge win last week.
Yes, and, I saw that.
It was just fantastic. But Brant's a very interesting study because Brant had, I guess he was sort of a great career player. He played many, many, many events on the PGA Tour and the Development Tours, the Web Tour, the Nationwide Tour, the Nike Tour, whatever it was called. He played 400 times without a win in the U.S., one in Canada, one in Japan. He said, you know, this is what I've needed all my career, because it's just helped me, give me confidence that I know I'm set up the same way every time. All of a sudden, I've learned how to take a perfect stroke. He says, man, if I'd had this thing, I'd have been winning on the PGA Tour on a regular basis, and so on and so forth. But he kind of put his money where his mouth was, because within his first six events on the Champions Tour, he had three top five finishes, and then he won his first event in the U.S. In Des Moines. And continued over the next 10 months to just absolutely be an ATM out there. The major championships, finished third, fourth, fifth. And all of a sudden now, here's Brant Jobe, the next big thing on the Champions Tour. And wow, all that talent. He hits it a long way. And now we can putt. And very interesting that a new set of expectations seems to have come along, where all of a sudden, how does this guy not win more, right? And interestingly enough, he took the last 5 weeks off, did a lot of family stuff, and then he showed up at Seattle last week, and he said he came into that with very few expectations. He went out there to have fun. He said he told his caddy, hey, have no idea what to – we're just going to have fun this week. I don't really know how we could expect much because I haven't been playing. And lo and behold, he goes 69, 66, and on Sunday, starting the day, seven shots behind Fred Couples, shoots a 63 with 10 birdies, and ends up literally blowing the field away and winning by three shots. 10 birdies on Sunday. So, you know, when they talked to him, he just said, you know, it was just so much fun. I didn't have expectations. How can the average player kind of learn from that?
I would say 99% of all golfers play the wrong game. They play the games of expectation, the expectations of, I have to shoot a certain score. I have to hit it a certain way. I have to get off to a good start. The only expectation that really works for all players is that they expect to step into every shot, every putt, giving 100% commitment to giving a great effort. And they should also expect that whatever happens, they can accept it and enjoy, you know, the process for what it is. Nothing less, nothing more. The great thing about Brant Jobe is he says, well, I wish I had this, you know, so many years ago. And I would sit there and I look right across the table from Brant. I've met Brant before, a great guy. I would sit there and say, well, it's a great thing that you actually found a Seymour putter here 3 years ago, because it's changed your whole life and it's changed your whole perspective. Because the one thing about winning, I always ask people, what did you learn from winning? And they say, well, I learned a lot of stuff. But I always remind them, the most important thing about winning is that you did win, that you did it. It isn't that you think maybe you can win, maybe I could break through. It's that you did break through. And now, because he has this Seymour putter, he's hitting, you know, great putts, he's hitting it on his line, he has great confidence. Think about it. It frees him up so much that it allows him just to go play and play the way that Brant Jobe knows he can play. And I happen to believe that the greatest fear that all tour professionals, all amateurs at any level have, it isn't the fear of failure, even the fear of success. It's the fear of inaccessibility. I fear that I won't be able to tap into the talent I know I have. And sometimes by getting a great putter, like a Seymour putter in your hand, that allows you to aim and hit it solid and make putts, that's really all you need. It just opens up the floodgates. And I think that's really what it did with Brant. And I think that's really what the expectation factor is. The expectations are very closely linked to perfectionism, and I have to, and I want, and people try so hard to meet these expectations, and they always come up short. When we try a little softer, and I've always loved the saying that angels fly high because they take themselves lightly, I think if we actually just sort of soften our approach a little bit and just relax and just expect that this is what's going to happen, and then we can live with it and move on, we would play so much freer and so much better.
You know, I've got one other funny story. I mean, this is kind of the same weekend. We had a young lady who's trying to go through LPGA Q school. And in fact, she made it through the stage. She played beautifully. But it was interesting because the first couple rounds, if I'm not mistaken, I think she shot 68 and 67, and she was first. And, you know, and then she ended up, okay, you know, over the four rounds, she finished fourth or fifth or something like that. Her great rounds came in the first 2 days. Somebody else maybe blitzed it on the last day. And in the end of the day, I mean, she far exceeded her expectations, right? But it was funny because I don't know, you know, I think we hear this a lot. But then in kind of looking back at the weekend, you know, and taking away that, hey, and I'm not saying they're not taking away, this was a phenomenal weekend, but it's funny. Of course, the discussion goes back to, you know, the 67 really could have been a 63. And, you know, the 66 really thought that might have been a 65 if just a few more putts would have gone in. And, you know, I'm sure you hear that a lot, Doc. And,
I do. I do. And it always reminds me about good, better, best. I mean,
like
you have like
satisfied, you know?
Well, yeah, the good, better, best. And I was just talking this to all of my young students. I was talking to a huge group of 200 students a couple weeks ago. And I said to them, it's just like a mattress. You have a good mattress, you know, for more money, you have a better mattress. And then for the most money, you have the best mattress. I said, but think about good, better, best. You go out, you know, saying, I'm a good putter. I'm a good player. And I said, at the end of the day, though, we could always sit back and armchair quarterback and say 2020 hindsight, I could have done this better. I would have, could have, should have. I could have had this, could have had that. I said, but the real important ingredient is every shot, every putt you step into, do you and did you give it your best effort? And so when we start talking about having a great performing, a great putting mindset, if you can say at the end of the day, to me, this is the most important statistic in golf. At the end of the day, can you say to yourself, I gave that putt, that shot, that round, my best effort every moment on every shot? And if you can do that and you can live with that and accept that you gave your best, because that's all you can do. But all you can do is more than enough if you understand that I gave my best. So we always talk about this hindsight. I could have done this, could have done that. But you also want to be very satisfied with doing your very best, whatever that score is. I think we have a lot more happy, healthy golfers with that perspective than we do with this very high expectation, perfectionistic thinking that is pervasive among our golfing society.
Well, Dr. Bob Winters, on the putting couch today. You gave it your best, Doctor. We really love this episode and can't wait to get this out there. I think in the end of the day, every single golfer out there could benefit greatly by this conversation, this positive energy that you've given us. And again, it's all about, forget about the overall results. Just go out there and just give it your best on every single shot. Obviously, do what you can in your practice sessions to work on every part of your game. But when you get out there, have your confidence. You know, nobody's ever gone out and had a career round when they're worrying over every single shot. So we will have many, many more discussions with the great Dr. Bob Winters.
Thanks, fellas. It's been a great, great talk.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.